Thank you for your help. Okay, so under the weather, treating minor ailments. So this really revolves around two, put minor in quotes, really it revolves around two questions. One is that there's what's something called the Isser of Refuah, which we'll cover first. The idea that that there's some kind of gezeira that's on the books, that things that are meant to heal somebody are for some reason not allowed on Shabbos. We'll talk about that shortly. And then that leads to, so first you have to figure out who that applies to. However, then we also go up to a category that we'll talk about tonight called chola she'ein bo sakana, meaning somebody who is sick, who's not in danger of, who's not in life danger. And for some, whose life is not in danger. And this gezeira of refuah, this gezeira of not healing people, does not apply to a chola she'ein bo sakana, to somebody who is sick and not in danger of losing their life. So the question is, okay, where does that gezeira fall in? And then when you move up to this idea of a chola she'ein bo sakana, so the things become permissible that otherwise may not be, or really, what becomes permissible that otherwise wouldn't have been. Okay,
so we're saying bo sakana is that someone more sick than a person who's just not feeling well. Or
right. So okay, where that line is a I don't know how we want to. I'm sure we could put a monetary amount on it, but it's up there. You know how much the answer to that would be worth. Okay, so sometimes, you know, like in kashrus, you could talk about, like, it's $1 million question, multi-$1 million question. This is unclear because I'm not sure people are buying more medication because they could or can't use it on Shabbos. So it's hard to put a monetary amount on it. So the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos, this is not sure how we, what all these things are, but as we'll see, it doesn't necessarily matter. Ein ochlin izvayon b'Shabbos. A person shouldn't eat, as it's translated by the Sansino, freely available online by a Greek hyssop on Shabbos. Why? Lefisha eino meichel b'riyam. Because normal people that are healthy, won't eat it. Aval ochel hu es yoezer. He could eat the yoezer. Vishosa abu broa. He could eat yoezers and drink abu broas, whatever those are. Okay, so what is that telling us? If he could eat or drink those, so that must be things that people would normally eat or drink, right? So you're not allowed to eat something that is not normally eaten, but you are allowed to eat something that is not that is normally eaten.
But it wouldn't be necessary to tell you you could drink something that normally is drunk.
Let's see. Okay, so kol ochlin ochel adam the refuah kol hamat, and you could eat a man may eat any kind of food as a refuah. V'chol hamashkin shosa, and they could drink any drinks. Chutz be made the kalim v'kos ikrin, with the exception of palm trees and a potion of roots. A kos ikrin was used for a couple of things. Well, why? Mifnei shehein liyiroka, because those cure jaundice. Aval shosa who made the kalim letzama, but one may drink water of palm trees for his thirst. V'sach shem and ikrin shelo lirafua, and you could even rub oil of the roots that don't, with if there's no medical purpose. Finally, this relates to last week's year. We talk about rubbing oil. So we see here that you're allowed to rub some kind of oil. Okay, so what was in this Mishnah? So there's some kind of food and some kind of drink that you can't eat because it's because normal people don't eat it. Then there is stuff that you could eat and could drink because normal people eat it. Seemingly the reason you're eating it is not because you're like everyone else, but there's a specific reason why you eat it. You can eat any food and any drink is okay, except for specific things, because those are known as being some type of refuah. And you can drink things if you're thirsty, and rub oil on yourself if it's not for a medical purpose. So a couple of different things that are going on there. Okay? So that is the Mishnah that presents the Isser of Refuah. It doesn't say why. It doesn't say why it's a problem. The reason why it's a problem, or the methodology behind the Gezeir, was actually in the Daf Yomi a couple of days ago, where it says the following halach. It's actually learned out from a perek that's describing what you're allowed to do to animals on Shabbos. So it mentions, Nimel Tashma Behema She'och Sadam. If an animal, you took its blood away from the animal, you bloodlet it. Ima Midin Osta B'mai B'shvil She'titzdanim. You can't can't let it, you can't put it in cold water on Shabbos because in order for that for it to cool off. However, adam she'achzu dam mamidin osav amayim bishvil she'itzdan. You are allowed to put a person there. Why? Amar ula gezeira mishum schika simamanim. Why can't you put the animal there? Because it's an animal that you will crush the herbs. What does crushing herbs have to do with water? Right? What does one have to do with the other? So the Gemara continues on and says, "I hachi adam nami." If so, why shouldn't that apply to a person? No, adam nira kemekar. No, because people, a person just looks like he's cooling off. At least in the time of the Gemara, people, it seems from the Gemara that it was, at least at various parts of time in the process of the Gemara, that people would go into cold water on Shabbos. "I hachi behema nami nira kemekar." An animal should also look like they're cooling off. Not in maker lebehema. People don't do that for animals. Okay, but what is coming out from this Gemara? What is the problem? What does it have to do anything with roots? So what's going on here is that there is an Isser of Refuah, and the Gemara is putting a reason behind it. The reason behind it is, lest one come and grind the herbs in their backyard. What's the standard way of healing people? Right? The standard way is, you grow herbs, you grow things in the backyard, you crush it up. Crushing up is an Isser on Shabbos, Isser of Dash, an Isser, whatever the... One of several Malachos, how to define it is unclear, but one of several Malachos. And that's us. So in order to avoid people crushing these things, we said all things of healing are not going to be permissible on Shabbos. There's a famous Gezeira Mishum Schika Simamanim, right? Because we're going to crush the herbs. Now, Shachter used to point out, in the name of the Rav, that sometimes you look through Chazal, there are Gezeiros that are made, there are Dini Derabanan that are made. And sometimes you can look and see that it's a little bit far-fetched. Like in this case, it's a little bit far-fetched. What? Because I put an animal in a pond, and I'm going to go ahead and crush things in the backyard. This is even back in the time of the Gemara. It's a little bit far-fetched. Today, of course, it's far-fetched. So if one looks through the Rishonim on this, even the Rishonim pick up on this. And Rishonim say, no. That might be the technical methodology of the way the Gezeirah was made. Meaning Gezeirah could be made, it has to be made based on, so you can't just make anything up. It has to be based on an Isser Doraisa. It has to be somehow connected to something that the Torah already prohibits. So the real reason the Rishonim explained that they wanted to prohibit medication on Shabbos, and the Rishonim hint to this, some hint to it, some say it outright, and Achronim say it outright as well, is that If we talk about illnesses on Shabbos, or we talk about people being sick on Shabbos, our immediate reaction is, oh my gosh, kuach nefesh, everything, we're allowed to do whatever we want in order to save the person. So the Rabbanim were concerned about that attitude of, oh, everything is free, the Shabbos doesn't apply anymore, the person is sick. So it's partly true, meaning it's partly true that if a person is in life-threatening danger, so the luckos of Shabbos are pushed aside to some extent in favor of being able to help that person. But in order to be a balance to that, in order to be a balance to the idea that we permit certain things in the Hilchos Shabbos for the benefit of those that are deathly ill, the people that are in life danger, so the balance to that is, when it comes to certain types of healing, we're going to be stringent on. Now, the Rabban can't make up that din. I mean, there's no way of making that gezeira. That's the motivation behind the gezeira. That's why we wanted to make the gezeira. However, sometimes you have there are laws that are passed, and sometimes the motivation for the law isn't exactly the same way that the methodology that the law is made. So this is an example. I mean, it's a gezeira because of crushing the herbs, but the real motivation was in order so that people don't, was that in order so that people take Shabbos more seriously, even when there are health considerations involved. Okay? So that's idea number one. Idea number two goes back to, I don't know how many people remember, the very first year that I gave in Beth HaMedrash. between Mincha and Ma'ariv of the tryout Shabbos. So this comes out. So that one. Oh, so now you remember. Good. I quoted the following idea from Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter writes in his Sefer in Eretz HaTzvi, the following idea, that we have a rule that that darvish shebe minyan tzarech minyan acher lahatiro, that something that was created, gezeira that was made, requires another beast in order to annul it. That's great shech gadol mimenu shech bechachmu v'minyan. That's greater than it in numbers and wisdom, whatever it is that means. Right? Pretty much that means that if once a gezeira is made, it's there. And not only that, but even if the reason goes away, the gezeira stays in place. Right, so there are the shear was about several exceptions to that rule, that there seem to be a couple of gezeiros that do go away, and with the reason being because the reason seemed to have fallen away. Right, so how did that work? That's what that shear was about. But over the course of Rav Schechter's article, he quotes the idea of, well, what about refuah b'Shabbos? What about the idea of healing on Shabbos, right? None of us, except for maybe my wife, know how to make medication based that that's going to involve any form of crushing, right? Or a section of Joel also, with all due respect. right? So there are most people, how do you get medication? You go to the store and you get medication. You go to the store and you keep your pills, and your pills are kept in your medicine cabinet, and that's how we heal ourselves, right? So can we really say with a straight face that the reason for this gezeira apply, that the reason still exists of Shema Schika Simeman? So Shechter says, and not only that, but there seems to be room to say sometimes when the reason falls away, the gezeira does fall away. Especially when, what are those times? That if the gezeira was uprooting a mitzvah. Okay, so the famous example that example is a little bit complicated. A famous gezeira would be on Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah falls out of Shabbos, so we don't blow shofar. Why is that? So that's a gezeira. Gezeira less I carry the shofar dalet amos in Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's the reason we don't blow shofar. That's the reason we don't take lulav on Sukkot. That's the reason we don't lay the gil on Purim. Right? Because a gezeira less I violate the prohibition. So what about if there's an eruv? Should it still apply? So there are suggestions that it shouldn't apply, right? That maybe we should, maybe it shouldn't apply. So it's a gezeira was made, a rule of the Rabbanim were made. Shouldn't it stay in force? So he explains based on the idea from the Rush that no, if the gezeira is uprooting a mitzvah, if because of that gezeira I'm now not going to do a mitzvah, meaning because of the gezeira I'm not going to blow shofar, I'm not going to pick up a lulav, I'm not whatever. So then it's possible those scenarios, if the reason falls away, the gezeira would fall away. Okay, that's what that shir was about. So refuah by Shabbos, right? The mitzvah of healing, right? So we have a mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, right? If you're going to tell me that I can't that I can't take pills, so that's going to make me upset on Shabbos, going to be sad on Shabbos, that's going to make me not feel well on Shabbos, and that's going to take away my mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, perhaps. So maybe that should be not just because the reason falls away, but the reason fell away, and B, it's uprooting a mitzvah. Maybe the two of those combined should be enough for me to say the whole thing doesn't apply. And in fact, some suggested that. There are, the Rav, he quotes in a footnote, Rav Schechter quotes in a footnote in Eretz Tzvi, that the Rav was very upset at those people that matered it. The implication is that it wasn't just people that weren't from that were matering, that were permitting it. Right? It sounds like there were people that said, that sounds good, that sounds right. We don't just crush herbs from our backyard anymore. It'd take away, right? Maybe it shouldn't apply. So Rav Schechter said it doesn't, it still does apply. Why is that? Because the gezeira of refuah doesn't just impact people that don't feel well. It also impacts other types of vitamins, other types of things that people are doing to make themselves better. Right? So once the gezeira is a much larger thing, so just because a part of it shouldn't apply, the gezeira is still going to stay in force. So that's this piece here in the middle that I put on, that he, Schechter explains that he believes that the gezeira of refuah, right, the prohibitions of seeking refuah on Shabbos still apply. Now, while he's giving us this stringency, he also gives a very large kula that we will get to, which is very important. But are we good so far? Right, we understand that there's a prohibition of refuah. Okay. The next step is. Okay, something that was, by the way, something that was included in that Mishnah, which we not really, not in the source sheet, but something that was included in that Mishnah was that you could eat any food as a remedy or drink any liquid. Okay, I mean any food, anything that's normally considered food. Right? So even if, so Shulchan Aruch says, even if your purpose was for a refuah. So the classic example of that is?
Chicken soup.
Excellent. Right? That's the, so a rabbi, am I allowed to eat chicken soup on Shabbos? Of course you're allowed to eat chicken soup on Shabbos, assuming you came to the shiur on Bishul and Shabbos. Oh, but wait a second. Am I allowed to, but I'm not feeling, I'm cold. The reason I'm having chicken soup is because I'm not feeling well. I never have chicken soup otherwise. So the answer is still, no, that's okay, because that's considered food, right? We don't look at chicken soup and say, chicken soup's not sold in the drugstore, it's sold in the supermarket, right? So if it's sold in the supermarket, assume, you know, even though drugstores are now in supermarkets, and supermarkets are now in drugstores. But back in the old days, it was a much easier way to differentiate foods versus things that were consumed. So that's permissible. You're allowed to eat and drink regular foods for the course of over the course of Shabbos. Another, even if one is not feeling well, even if you never drink tea and you want to drink tea because you have a sore throat, or even because you never drink coffee, but lo and behold, you have a caffeine headache for some inexplicable reason, right? So you'd be allowed to drink coffee in order to solve that caffeine headache. So the Beis Yosef comments and says the following: Umash medchol she'eino chol leklal mutilo lecho v'lishtos ochlin umashkin she'einon meichol berein. That it sounds like, and he's quoting based on the Torah, I didn't put the Torah on, but he's quoting from the Torah and saying, it sounds like that if you're not sick at all, it's permitted to eat or drink food and drink that's not really considered Michael Brim, that's not really considered the food of regular people. That if you're not sick, there shouldn't be a gezeirah. So the Beis Yosef is saying the opposite case. We said if you're not feeling very well, you eat regular food. We said it's okay. The Beis Yosef says, well, what about the opposite? Let's say you are feeling fine. You're feeling healthy. You're feeling good. Are you allowed to take medication? Are you allowed to take medicines?
Make the case provided.
So very good. Right? This
or
is cool.
Or preventive. Anything preventive.
Well, hold on. Okay, you're good. You got your Poskim hat, Poseka hats on. Good. The Hevan she'ena chola leikel amigzar midi. If you're not sick, there shouldn't be a gezeira. Hilkach afilu eno lo rav lo tzami. Even if you're not hungry, you're not thirsty. Mutal yachlan velishtos. You should be allowed to eat and drink these kinds of things. V'hadin nakat le rav lo tzami. What the Torah says: if you're hungry or you're thirsty, that's not that was necessary. Elo orcha demilson nakat. He was just saying, if you're hungry or thirsty, you can eat or drink whatever you want. But really, even if you weren't hungry and you weren't thirsty, and you're feeling fine, there is no gezeira of refuah. There is no gezeira of medications on you if you're considered healthy. That is what Rav Yosef Karo says. That's the opinion of the Beis Yosef.
So what if you're only healthy because of the medications you're going to take?
Well, that's preventative. But wait a second. You're saying that the Beis Yosef said that if you're healthy, you can take medicine?
Well, that's what the Beis Yosef said, yes. Well, hold on. Let's do source number five. There's that is what he says. And it's important to keep, yes. Comes the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says on that, he quotes that in Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef says his opinion, he puts in Shulchan Aruch. And the Magen Avraham comments, the Magen Avraham is the commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says, he says, B'tur Kasav, he says, if you look at the Tur, it says, V'shosa oso l'ravo l'tzamo. It doesn't say you're allowed to just eat or drink it. It says you drink it because you're hungry or because you're thirsty, then it's permissible. Mashudim osa l'refua, that if you did it only for refua, it should be prohibited. It should not be allowed. Afal pishahu beria, even if you were okay. And that's what it said. Medication is even prohibited to somebody who is healthy. And the Rambam seems to say it explicitly as well, which you can trust me, the Rambam does seem to say that explicitly as well. So you have a dispute between Rav Yosef Karo, right, for Sfardim, saying that if you're healthy, there's no gezeira. I don't know. We don't have any Sfardim representatives here. Whether Sfardim hold like this, but sometimes they. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch passes, right? That if you're healthy, then it should be.
But there's no
gezeira.
But he's the only one that says that. Not even the Rambam says it.
Well,
maybe just the Rambam said it.
The Rambam seems to say against it, right? Why he passes?
Yes.
Why he seems to be. How he understands the Rambam is unclear, especially because Beis Yosef usually says, I hold like the Rambam, right? So
right.
Gotta work that out.
Right.
Gotta work that out. But that's the famous machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. So as some of you are already, it's percolating through the room. So what's the story with vitamins? Right? Vitamins, something that is usually eaten by people that are healthy. So what's the story with that over the course of Shabbos, right? So it seems, so Rav Moshe has a responsa, as you can see from word number 3, hinei b'davar ha-vitaminim, the vitamins, shahar be'anashim b'riyim, that many people who are strong and healthy, she'ein lehem shum mechush v'chol, they're not sick at all, aval harofim miyatzim liv loa osam, but the doctors have said, you know, you should swallow this v'chol yom every day, v'shum she'machzikim aguf, because they'll strengthen you, imutu lehem liv loa gam b'shabbos, you're allowed to swallow it on Shabbos, ki amagin avram. And he goes in and describes the machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Beis Yosef. He quotes both of them, what we just said. V'lachein ha-vitamins she'enem ru'uyim la'achila. And he concludes by saying, therefore, vitamins that aren't really fit for eating. V'heim rak l'refuah, and they're to make you feel better. Gam b'riyim asurim. The b'riyim should be asur. For healthy people, it should be asur. La'magen Avraham. Sh'roi la'achmer kamoso duhu basra. And we should, sounds like we should be strict like the Magen Avraham because he comes last. Right? Halacha kebasra'i, we pass in like the later opinion. Okay? So that's how he starts off by saying. So that's by saying those things that are in order to make you feel better, those would be a problem. However, and then he continues on and says, V'lachein, Tzarech Lomar, it makes sense to say, D'kavanas ha-Magen Avraham, what the Magen Avraham really had in mind, Hu dafka b'ber yeshu chalash b'tavo, b'rotza lehischazik b'yosef, that a person who normally feels a little weak, and they want to get stronger. They had varim she'ochel based on things that he eats. Shezo sovaratur shehu gam kein b'chal ha'isr, that he's also included in the isr kein b'chal, because he gets stronger. He feels stronger when he eats these vitamins. Ba'af shegam ba'ofen zeh kevet she'al kopanu hu beria below. And even though he would be healthy without them, right? Hayim istaber lomar she'enu bahol ve'en ligzer bazeh umitam zeh sovar ha'beis yosef shemutter. So midaya kamagin avram miloshon ha'tur. That case should be usher. Why is that? Because he's eating them and he's getting stronger as a result. Like a sick person who is getting better as a result of them, so therefore he's included in the Isser of Refuah. Meaning, when the Magen Avraham said, what the Maravosha is saying, that when the Magen Avraham said that somebody who is healthy is included in the prohibition and therefore can't take vitamins, he's referring to specifically a case where he's going to feel better because of those vitamins. He's going to be empowered by those vitamins. So you could skip a line to the underlying parts. That don't make a person feel better and change the way he is. They make him feel stronger. Rather, why are you taking them? Rather, he's just taking them so that you don't get sick more easily. Right, there are two purposes of vitamins. Right, one is they make you feel better. The other one is they make sure you don't get sick. So Moshe says, if they're making you feel better, so he's saying that's where the Isser of Refuah is, even if you're healthy. But if you're getting better, you're going to be stronger from it, you're going to feel a difference over the course of Shabbos. But if the purpose of the vitamins is only to prevent medicine, and to prevent some kind of illness from coming upon you later on, so comes Rav Moshe with a big kula saying that the Magen Avraham never sought to prohibit that. V'yesh vitaminim shemishanim b'briyasa she'osim echalash b'tavu l'chazik yosef plig b'zeh b'yis yosef v'magen Avraham. He says, but if you have a vitamins that actually is making you feel stronger, so that's what the dispute between the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham was about, right? And therefore, sheyesh lahachmer v'lasur kamagin avram. And therefore, you should be machmer and asur them like the Magen Avraham.
So that makes sense for preventative medicine as well.
So preventative medications, right?
Yes,
if you're not right, you're not going to feel any different by taking them. But
you have to
control your blood pressure or whatever.
Right.
So, but you have to feel better on Shabbos. So it's a little bit weird because if you take, I don't know, vitamin C or vitamin A or whatever you take, it's not like you don't feel anything. It's like a long-term kind of thing that makes you,
right,
over the long run feel better, but not within 24 hours.
Right, that's what he's saying. He's making you... Right.
So that would that be like preventative?
Sounds like it would be preventative if that, right, vitamin C prevents, I don't know. I don't think any of this
to
stuff.
Performance enhancing, which would be
like the Linus Pauling.
I should go back.
I don't know.
Prevents my wife from losing her job. I don't know. Preventative medicine.
So, okay, so anything that's preventative, like if you take allergy medicine to prevent yourself from having an attack or something like that.
So allergy, right. So we'll get to that. Meaning if something is preventing you from like getting sick, you don't have to, as we'll see shortly, you don't have to wait to get sick in order to be sick, in order to use that theorem of being sick. You're allowed to, we'll see that shortly.
Yeah, so this is talking about medication you take every day for some kind of chronic condition that would be okay because you need to take it for your blood pressure or for whatever.
Right, well, a blood pressure thing, you're not, right, well, blood pressure might even be a secondary. I mean, that's, and the illness that would result from, you don't feel better from a blood pressure medication, I don't think. I haven't taken them.
You certainly feel bad if you don't take it.
Right. Well, so if something, we're not talking about here that if you don't take it, we'll get to that towards the end, that if you don't take it, you're going to end up the rest of the Shabbos in bed. Right, that's not what we're talking about. That puts you then in the category of a cholish ingo sakana. We're talking about somebody who, like a bodybuilder, somebody like that, right? So he needs his steroids every day.
That's an answer. So
he needs that. So
something like statins, where if you don't take it a day, you may be okay.
So
you're really supposed to take it every day.
Like what?
So that's
not making you feel stronger. That's talking about preventing a heart attack down the road, I would think, right?
Yes. So again, that's preventative.
Right.
So making you feel stronger, would that be like if you had a headache and you took Tylenol or Motrin to get rid of it?
So the Tylenol, the headaches is, let's hold off on the headaches. The headaches is you know, Shafter's big. This is a big cooler, I think, from what
okay,
I can tell.
So,
but he won't admit it.
That would because headaches, we throw in headaches, things like back pain and stuff like that. I mean, you know, or arthritis or
right.
Whatever.
So let's we'll have to define. This is all talking about your barrier. You're healthy or your what you'd call as meichlish bialma. You call your very you're just a little weak. Where you cross the line to being a cholish ein bo sakana, we haven't gotten yet. We're still talking about healthy people. So healthy people, I'm looking here. I found this book. I have yet to see this book in a store anywhere, I think, but I found this in the office upstairs when I got here. The Hilchos of Refuah. So he gives a couple of the examples that he gives. Well, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with all of them, but he not permitted to take medicine, so he pills, ointments, lotions, drops, and gel. It depends what. Possibly a hot water bottle. Okay, that is right. The hot water bottle
is permitted or not?
No,
permitted?
So that might be not permitted, as we'll see. I mean, that might be a problem depending on or a cold compress or water or things. Right? Refuah doesn't just apply to things that you eat. Refuah could apply to things that caffeine pills, sleeping pills. Right. The Mishnah was only talking about that, but remember the Gemara where it talked about that Gezerah was talking about taking sitting in the cold water, having your animal, right? All right, so it's not just things that would...
Rabbi?
Yes?
What if you have this terrible back pain, and unless you have your hot water bottle, you're going to be miserable the whole time?
That gets to the Kocholish Ein Bo Sakana question. Okay, I want to do one other halacha, and then we'll get to all that. Okay, source number 7 has an important halacha. I'm not sure what Sreifas Metukim are. Mutter Lechol Sreifas Metukim, some kind of burnt
Hot candy.
Hot candy. That's what it sounds like, right? I'm not sure. You're allowed to eat some kind of burnt hot candy. Veligmoa beitza. That we do know. We're talking about swallowing a raw egg. Beitza chaya. Why could they lahanim hakol? In order that your voice tastes better. So apparently this isn't just an old wives' tale from the 1900s. It's even an old wives' tale from the 1500s. Right? That you drink a raw egg, so that's going to make your voice better. Right. So the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that that's okay. Why is that okay? Because it's not really a medication. That's not really making you... That's just like, helping you a little bit, right? That's a substance or treatment that doesn't actually heal you. So anything that doesn't heal is actually not included in the prohibition of refuah. So also included in that are things like birth control pills, or things like the other examples that he had here. That's the one that you get asked about a lot. But the...
That's interesting, because then a painkiller would be something that doesn't heal you. It just masks the pain.
What?
The painkiller doesn't. Yeah, doesn't take that. Well, it just masks the pain.
No, it's the raw egg soothes the voice. This is his terminology. The raw egg soothes the vocal cords and enhances the voice, but doesn't really heal. A painkiller. I think a painkiller is medication. I have to figure out exactly how to distinguish that. But that would be...
Yeah, it's tricky.
Right? So sleeping pills also. He says some posts can permit sleeping pills for that reason. Because sleeping pills are just letting you get back to just being normal. It doesn't heal you. The sleeping heals you. It just allows you to ultimately get to sleep. Okay. So that is it. Well, you got a problem?
No.
You don't want to take sleeping pills? Don't take sleeping pills.
Okay.
It's okay.
So if you have pain, you can drink whiskey.
Right. Yeah. Well, whiskey is at least for most people is, well, I don't know. Whiskey would be considered a Michael Bream, so that would fall under the Mishnah's category that we had earlier. Okay. So the now we get to the big question. So all of this only applies to people that A, are either healthy, even that is a question between the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham, how exactly it applies there, and it applies to somebody who's not feeling well, right? Now there's another two categories as you go up the chain, right? There is Chola She'ein Bo Sakana, and then there's Chola She'yesh Bo Sakana, right? So if a person is in mortal danger, that's a Chola She'yesh Bo Sakana. So even Yisuri D'oraisa fall away to an extent, as little as possible, we would allow somebody to violate Yisuri D'oraisa. That's not the topic of tonight's shir, right? But we're concerned with, well, what if you know you're going to live, right? Where do you draw the line between what we call a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana versus what we would call a mechush bialma? The big difference is that by chola she'ein bo sakana, many, we'll see to what extent, but many dini derabanan begin falling away. Right? Not just dini derabanan with regards to the gezeira of refuah, the prohibition of healing, but even things like Amir al-Akum, asking a non-Jew to help you out, that's explicit in the Gemara, right? Doing things in an unusual way. Those kinds of things which are not going to be Isuri D'oraisa, so those perhaps fall away when you get up to a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana. So if you can ask a non-Jew to do something for you, certainly the prohibition of refuah falls away as well. So the big question is, where do we draw the line between somebody who is Mechush B'Alma versus somebody who's just not feeling well, as opposed to what we would call a chola she'ein bo sakana. So I'm just wondering, what have people heard here? Has anybody ever heard a distinction?
A child is a
chola. Okay, so a baby is a young child is a chola she'ein bo sakana. Yes. Pregnant woman perhaps is a chola she'ein bo sakana. Okay, but certainly a young child gets that label right away. Any other... Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, so this is the key sifrish. We're going to do the first two lines, then we'll go back and then do the rest. So Chol Shenafel Machmas Chalyav. If somebody has fallen because of their illness lemishkav into bed, the ain bo sakana, but there is no sakana. So that is the when I in high school whatever that I first learned that was the distinction. If you have to go to bed. Right, that's how you know that you're a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. So already the Ramah, so that's already pretty big, because, you know, that's pretty high up if I have to go to bed. I mean, that's like, what if I would want to go to bed, but I have to give a shir. Like, how do you figure that out? So the Ramah says, he already knocked it down a little bit. Or you have an illness that is causing you pain, and your whole body is sick. Sha'az, that therefore, even though you're walking around, it's as if you've fallen into bed. Meaning, if you really would want to be in bed, and all things being equal, you'd be in bed. But your wife's working, and you have three kids to take care of, right? Something like that, right? So you could still be considered a cholish emosakana, even though you're not technically horizontal at the moment. All right. So Rav Schechter, in his different sefer, the Ikvei Hatzon, comments, says, "What does that Rama mean?" Sherei kvar kasav harama b'hilchus Shabbos to get their chola she'ein bo sakana. Now, what does it mean to be a chola she'ein bo sakana? Hainu kol shechola kol gufo o shemut al mishkav. Right, if your entire body is sick or you've fallen into bed, kolomar. Aha. What does that mean? Kol shenimna ha'adam melipo pulasav ba'ofen normally machmas choliyav. The person is not able to do what they normally do because of their illness. So that is a massive, right? That is not in the English book. The English book gives a different definition. The definition that they give here is just tell you. The whole body, a person, even one whose illness does not force him to stay in bed, but it causes his whole body to hurt or to feel weak and sluggish, is also considered to be incapacitated. When illness causes a person so much pain or discomfort that he cannot function normally, oh, it does have it. That person is considered to be incapacitated. Excellent. Oh, so he does have that. He quotes from Shlomo Zalman. Excellent. All right, so that is the definition, right? If a person cannot do what they normally do, so call Rav Schechter with a question and say the person hurt your leg and can't walk to shul. He'll say, well, if they normally go to shul on Shabbos, and now they can't normally go to shul. So that puts them in the category of a chulish ein bo sakana. So people that are in that category are already beyond the rules and regulations of refuah. Right? So all of a sudden this prohibition of refuah is now not that big. It's for people that are, you know, maybe not feeling well a little bit, that, you know, are take Motrin for that. Or perhaps or the mugging of rum, that they're healthy, but they want to make themselves feel a little bit better, right? So they're in the prohibition of the refuahs. Incidentally, the Rav Yosef Karo, who said that was makel on all of that, is going to be more strict about what a cholish ein bo sakana is, right? He's the one who said that you have to be lying in bed. Right? He's the one who gave that definition. Oh, okay. Now, you could say he didn't really mean that. He really meant, like, you want to be in bed, or you would be in bed, or, you know, whatever. But he's the one who seems to have the higher bar. Right? But if you go into mugging of rum territory and say, oh, really, the Isra Rafu is referring mostly to healthy people, and then you shift over a little bit and say, oh, and it also applies to people that, you know, aren't feeling perfect and aren't feeling 100%, but are still functioning totally normally, but then you can draw the line and say, okay, but if you're not functioning normally, so then all of a sudden you're in the category of a cholish ein bo sakana, and the prohibitions of refuah at that point fall away. Right? So if it's, that's where you get the Tylenol and the Motrin and all those kinds of things. You have a headache. You're not, right? So I have a question that I haven't resolved yet. If you're going to go by this definition, I'm just wondering, I haven't come to a conclusion on this, is that objective or is it subjective? Right? So let's say I had this question to myself. It was one of the yontifs, it hasn't happened to me in a while, Baruch Hashem, but one of the yontifs, I mean, 4 or 5 yontifs ago, I had a cold, and I was taking Sudafed, and so it was Shabbos morning, or yontif morning, I remember it being a yontif, it was yontif morning, and I knew I wouldn't be able to speak. right? So most people don't get up in front of 100 people on Shabbos morning and talk, right? For them, I felt fine. The only problem was is that I couldn't get my voice out. So right at that point, was I allowed to take a Sudafed in order to right? So I'm not doing what I normally do, but most people otherwise are not the so that was my clash, and I ended up I think I remember taking it because I all of a sudden started not feeling so well anyways. So but that's I haven't resolved that, right? Whether this is an objective din or whether it's a subjective din. My hint is that it's a subjective din, but I'm not sure about that.
It's somewhat subjective because some people will just keep on doing what they're doing no matter how sick they are, and other people will get sick and keep on.
Right.
Definitely subjectivity there, right, in terms of how you react, how your tolerance,
so that first
brain,
group,
all that stuff.
So the first group you're describing,
right, but
the
permissibility of refuah might be objective, though. I mean, that person still might be allowed to take refuah even though they're a worker and they don't care and they keep going no matter what.
Well, it's not like pain affects different people differently.
Based
on one person's pain tolerance allows them not to feel it as much. Like, it will be different, like with physical problems, like a broken arm or things that really limit you physically.
Right.
But when you get into pain, you know, you could have two people experiencing the same level of pain, and one will be able to function normally, and one won't.
Right, right. So you go to the hospital, and they ask you how much pain are you in on 1 through 10, right? So the same thing might cause one person to say 6 and another person to say 9, right? Yeah, that's true. But in my case of the right, I'm in the same amount of pain as the other guy, right? My case of Shabbos morning and supposed to speak.
Yeah, but your normal day is to talk to 100 people. So you have to put that into your...
Right, that's my question, right? So I understand subjectively people are going to come up with different numbers on the smiley face chart or the unhappy whatever that chart, right? But that number might mean different things to different people, right? So that's subjectivity I'm not sure about.
Say that if they hurt their leg and they don't usually come to shul, then it's a different scenario.
Right. That's my hint to say, yeah, that he would mean that it's subjective. Right? A person normally goes, and they, right, so therefore they have to. Okay. So, in that, once you're in that category then, right, I'm going to say the Kol HaShem Bo Sakana, Dina D'Rabbanan fall away, so how much of it falls away? Right? How much? So we're not allowed to do Isiri D'Oraisa. We're not allowed to do biblical prohibitions. You're not allowed to get into a car, turn it on. You're not allowed to turn on a light. You're not allowed to, right? But what is it that one would be allowed to do? So there is a Gemara that says in source number 10. Kedrav Ula Bered Rav Eli, the Amar Kol Tzorchi Chula Nasin Ali Dei Armai B'Shabbos. So you're allowed to have a non-Jew do whatever you want for on behalf of a person who's sick. Right, Amar Rav Nuna Davar Sheim Bosakana Omer Lanach Rivos. Rav Nuna said, "Oh, you're a chol Davar. You're a chol Sheim Bosakana. Oh, tell the non-Jew. They'll take care of it for you." Right. So that's a very good example of a prohibition on Shabbos that's only Aser Derabana. Right. The problem with that's pretty much the main source for this. The problem with that is that. Amir al-Akum, the prohibition of Amir al-Akum, is usually considered a lower level than other rabbinic prohibitions. Anybody have any idea why that would be? It's usually considered, right, we'll be more likely to permit Amir al-Akum, telling a non-Jew to do something, which by the way means explicitly telling the non-Jew to do something. It doesn't mean like, you know, you're hinting or it's cold or it's hot or whatever. It means explicitly telling the non-Jew to do something. That's what we're permitting here. Right, but even that's we're more likely to permit that than something like two people doing it at the same time, or doing it with your elbow, or doing it with your toe, or doing, you know, things like that. So why, or a grumma, you set a timer, right? So why is that? Because with Amir al-Akum, you're not actually doing anything. Right? Amir al-Akum, you're saying something. So you're even further removed from the prohibition. So just because the Gemara says that I'm allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm permitted to do anything, you know, I want on a level of derabanan, right? So cases come up like you have a humidifier that goes off, and you have a kid that needs a humidifier, right? So, right, you have two people press the button. Are those kinds of things permissible? So the Shulchan Aruch, the reason why it's so big is because it quotes four opinions on the topic. All the Rishonim weigh in on this, and they weigh in with different amounts, and the Shulchan Aruch says, if you look towards the end, before one gets to the Ramah, It says, V'divrei hasfara shlishis nira. The third opinion is the one that I like. What's the third opinion? So you don't have to count, because I put in the Mishnah Berurah over there in Zion. The Mishnah Berurah says, what is that? Ha'im shemutr lasos afilu kol hashvutim. You're allowed to do all the durabanan, v'rak ayidei shinoi, but only by a shinoi. I mean, you're allowed to do a rabbinic prohibition in a backhand manner. That's the thing that we're permitting you to do. So what would be an example of that? So a humidifier, assuming that there is no lights on it, probably is only an Isser Derabanan. Electricity is probably only Isser Derabanan, provided that there's no lights on it. So to do that with your elbow, even assuming that that's considered a proper shinoi, so that would be considered, that's what he's permitting here. Right? That's what he's permitting here, and really only provided there's no non-Jew around to ask. However, if you were in danger of losing a limb, now v'zman hazeh, we'll all say that that's all sakanas nefashos. I mean, we'll say if a person, you know, has their hand falling off, we'll say get to the hospital, right? We're not saying that's considered a chol shame of sakana. But whatever, if you could conjure up a case where only the person's limb was in danger, ain't sarach shinui klal, you don't need a shinui at all, and that's what the Taz says, the Magen Avraham and the Gra, and that's what most people assume. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah permits. In source number 12, he goes a little bit further. Yeah.
Before you go on to source, so I just don't understand that last piece, because that last piece doesn't shift it into the category of chol sheyeshbo sakana.
So he's saying a sakanas eiver isn't. Now what I'm pointing out is in the year 2012. We're still in 2012. You will, we'll say, you know, if a person has a broken arm, we'll say that's a light. We know of things called, I don't know, you know, infections and aneurysms and things like that, and we'll say get to the hospital, because that really is that we know that that's a chol sheyeshbo sakana. Okay. I mean, we might suggest walk to the hospital, right? But
we wait till after Shabbos.
Okay. If let's say a person had a frostbite. I don't know, that might be an example. A person had a frostbite. So, I don't know, the worst thing, I had a frostbite once, right? A danger would be your finger. And really, we can assure you that that's all that would possibly happen. So in that case, we would say, only do Isuri Durabanan. You could do an Issa Durabanan even without a Shinui. Whatever that would be. However one would figure out what that healing would be. Yes.
So if it's an emergency that would require you want to go to the hospital, what about somebody going with that person? Could somebody accompany them?
Okay, so if you go into the hospital already, that's called sheyeshbo sakana. I didn't want to go there. In theory, if that person is usually the person going along to the hospital isn't doing anything, right? There's not, you know, riding in the ambulance isn't the malacha, right? And
no, but could a friend or a spouse or a child go with that person?
Right. So I'm saying riding in an ambulance, even though you're not the.
Oh, I mean driving. Say there's no ambulance. Say you.
So as I've been in a place like Wynwood, I don't believe that there should 99.99% of the cases where a person even has to go to the hospital shouldn't require going into a car. Right? There is this idea out there, oh, my wife is in labor, I'm going to get into the car and drive her to the hospital on Shabbos. That's incorrect. There's no reason that you should that should happen. You could call a cab. Usually a woman goes into labor. 99.9% of the cases. Maybe if you're in the Ekman house, you'd walk. But most cases, you call a cab, right? It's not an emergency. It means get to the hospital as soon as you can. And if it's an emergency, so you call an ambulance.
But you can't drive yourself?
So driving yourself means that I am violating many Suri Doraisa. And by the way, you're going to have a hard time coming up with a heter to turn your car off once you get there.
Yeah.
And getting out.
Right. So one time I mentioned this, and someone yelled at me. What do you mean? It takes, you know, you can't. It takes forever. The hospital. It's dangerous. Da, da, da. Okay, whatever. If you believe that it's necessary, so you go and you figure out what to do with your car, right? But most cases, when you live in a city like ours with a hospital a mile away, right, there really should not be a reason why you would have to get into a car and drive to the hospital on Shabbos.
So it's better to go in the cab and pay the cab, even if it requires, let's say.
Because they're not you driving you.
Right.
They're not you doing the work.
Right.
Yeah.
So does the cab driver have to open the door for you?
Yeah, in theory, he should open the door for you, yes.
And
you can also use that cab service that they have for Shabbos.
Have you ever used it?
Yes.
But spending on the phone and giving him the money is not as bad as driving yourself.
Driving yourself is multiple Isuri Doraisa, right? It's multiple. You're turning on the car, you're lighting, you're doing everything. I mean, you're doing, there's no way around doing Isuri Doraisa when it comes to driving a car on Shabbos. But with having a cab, that's a Mirla Akum. That's what we're talking about here. That's telling a non-Jew to take you. Everything is your instructions to him. Right, Yeshua was born.
You can ask him to open the door for you. I mean, you can ask him to get the money out of your wallet or whatever.
Right. All three of my kids involved a hospital stay over the course of Shabbos. Yeshua was the only one that we had to go on Shabbos, and you know will not let me forget this, but we lived on the seventh floor, the sixth floor, but it was the seventh floor, and an apartment in Riverdale, and you know called the doctor. We got a rotary phone. This is not really tonight's year. We got a rotary phone before Shabbos that we wouldn't have to push the buttons. We got a rotary phone, called the doctor. That I said, okay, come in. We get out of the apartment. We're about to say, okay, let's push the elevator button. I said, wait a second. Why do we have to push the elevator button? And we walked down.
But that assumes that you can carry your child down the steps if the child's not able to walk.
No, no, this was when Chava was in labor with Yeshua.
He
was not walking.
He was in labor walking down six flights.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. Once we got to the hospital, they told us to walk down another six flights of stairs. So it wasn't really that big of a deal. That's Chol Sheish Bo Sakana. That's really a different share. This is all Chol Sheish Bo Sakana. So number one, the Mishnah Berurah says you could do an Isser Derabanan with the Shinui. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says is the best thing to do. Later on in that parak, he sends you over and tells you, if you can't do it without a Shinui, it's still okay. Right, this came up, we did this Mishnah Berurah in the CPAP shir, when we gave the CPAP shir. If you can't figure out a proper shinoi, but you're only doing the rabbinic prohibition, it's still okay. And then in the bottom, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, he quotes about five lines from the bottom. If something happened to my Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, it looked like somebody spilled water on it. Like, I don't know, the whole thing is bent, so whenever I try to get it down, the copies don't come out right. So sorry about that, but the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, where on the bottom one, where he has the parentheses, he puts in, Yesh migdoli ha-poskim ha-tim la-Yehudi laso srachi rufua social cholosh embo sakana. There are those that allow a Jew who needs to do things for a sick person who's not in danger, gam imasiya sam kishur b'malacha do'raisa, even if he's going to do a malacha do'raisa, as long as he doesn't do it the way he does it on a pole, as long as he does it with a shinui. Right? So I wouldn't recommend driving a car with a shinui. Right? That's probably Sakana Sefashos for other reasons. Right? Driving with your left foot. Right? I wouldn't recommend that. But other isurei, sometimes it does come up that he would even, you know, back against the wall, even permit the nisim. Right? But the main point is to get the point across that even though that we obviously put a lot of effort, you know, sanctify Jewish life and all of that kind of stuff is all true and relevant and to the point that we will violate Shabbos to save human life, but the counterbalance of that is if life is not in danger, so there are many halachas that one has to work through. There are things that a person has to work through before they just say, okay, everything's open to me, I'm allowed to do whatever I want. I skipped by accident. If you look at number Dalid, where he lists what is a chola she'im bo sakana in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, Dalit is, he's walking fine. I'm a sa'at b'beria, aval alo lipo lemishkav im lo yikabel something b'something moed.
Tipol
something moed.
Bo'od moed.
That he right now is fine, but he will have to go to bed if you don't do something for him right now. Right? So that's what you're talking about before, that if you know something's going to happen to you over the course of Shabbos, you don't have to wait for you to be sick. You can head it off before it will come to you.
So you said like doing an Isser, that doing it with a shinoi, like so like if the medicine is in some kind of a pack and you don't tear, but you have to tear to get it open, so you would like tear it some way that you wouldn't normally tear it or something.
Well, okay, tearing those kinds of things that worse in Issa Durabanan, if it even is an Issa Durabanan, right? So that the Mishnah is saying, even Issa Durabanan, they shinui, yeah, so do it in some kind of unusual way. So a knife, or I was thinking the thing upstairs, the paper slicer, something like that.
You got to be careful because if you take it with a Cutco knife, then you could end up having the slicer.
Right, right,
and
right.
You really have to go.
Yeah, that's getting personal. All right, good. All right, thank you for coming.